And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, dope?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together with Jalen and Jacoby, what exactly is it that we do?
We give the people what they whoa.
Giving you another podcast, exclusive podcast episode. We are outside the confines of television. The executives don't listen to this one. We don't have to keep it to a certain time. We can talk about whatever we want. And we will start with the tragic loss of Kobe Bryant. It's the anniversary. It's exactly 1 year ago today. Kobe and his daughter and seven others perished in a helicopter crash. Now, Jalen, you will always be linked to Kobe Bryant because of his 81-point performance. 18 of those were right in your grill. When you think about that night and how he comported himself, what stands out to you about that particular day?
Iconic greatness. Like he, my biological father played in the league, and I understand the magnitude of history. And when you're on the floor with these all-time great players, Michael Jordan, Hakeem Olajuwon, Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, and you see that even in football. Like, look at what Tom Brady's doing. There are going to be times where they have that spectacular performance and you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, and there's nothing you can do about it. And Alvin Kamara scores 6 touchdowns, there's nothing you can do about it. It just happens. And the approach that Kobe Bryant had, that Mamba mentality, that stoic demeanor, it is never more evident than it was in that game. Because myself, I believe that I could never even get to like 60 points, even if I made every shot, because my celebration and my trash talk would be too much and somebody want to hurt me. Like, that's a real thing. Jacoby, how much do you play basketball? And there's a difference when you're playing against somebody and they're a soundtrack versus when they're not saying anything.
Of course. I mean, I think as the other team, if he was thumping his chest and disrespecting the other team, he's not getting the 81. I really feel like he's going to go to the line a lot more. You know, and then the other team's going to take more notice of how many points he has. And when you go about it that way, the quote-unquote Mamba mentality, which is a question I want to ask you, Ness, is everyone says Mamba mentality, but what to you is the Mamba mentality? What does that really mean?
What that means to me is nothing is more important than getting better right now. Those are the words I saw come out of his mouth when he described it. There's nothing more important than getting better right now. And either you're first or you're last. He wasn't a guy that was fraternizing with the opponents. And let me give you a snapshot of where that came from. I was going to go into this on the show today and on Get Up, but I just didn't have a chance.
That's why we have the podcast exclusive episodes, Mr. Rose.
So there was a lot of jealousy for Kobe within the Lakers locker room when he got drafted. You got to remember, my brothers, Nick Van Exel and Eddie Jones, were on the team. All-star mm-hmm. level players. Played mm-hmm. against both of those guys in college. Went on to have terrific NBA careers. Nick the Quick, Herky Jerky, Lefty Floater, Cincinnati, Eddie Jones, Temple, smooth wing two-way player. They draft Kobe after they traded him for Vlade Divac. When Jerry West says that Kobe Bryant has the greatest workout that he's ever seen, that raises antennas around the league, especially in his own locker room. Because, A, it's like, why y'all drafting him and y'all got us? And then, B, Shaq was on the team, and while being the diesel, he had some issues with players on his teams at different stops that he didn't necessarily vibe with. Chris Jackson, who went on to become Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf at LSU. So when you see the Fab Five you know, the first group of freshmen starting in a Final Four in a national championship. One of the other things that made it so special is the other players that was in college that year. One of them, Shaquille O'Neal. While he was a member of the Magic, him and Penny Hardaway, that relationship has been documented. It's been shown. And so now you have Kobe, and he's the young phenom, and he's a teenager. And you draft him to L.A., Jacoby. And you know, like, bright lights, big city. While we want to win championships, we're still Showtime. We're still palm trees, low riders, and movie stars. But this guy is so young that he can't, A, partake in that, but B, he's not interested. So a lot of people took that as, oh, man, you know, you didn't grow up your whole life in the United States. You speak multiple languages. Like, this dude think he better than us. And based on that, he had to not only earn the respect of the public and the media, but he had to earn the respect of his own team. And a couple of seminal moments stand out to me. One, the three or four air balls in the playoff game at Utah. That's one of those things you got to be allowed to do. You know what I'm talking about, Jacoby? You're a parent. There's certain things that you tell your kids no, 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 and no, and you feel like they don't listen, and you're like, all right, you know what? I'm going to let this happen.
I think that's important to bring up in the legacy of Kobe Bryant, because I think that people that are younger than us that didn't live through that early stage of his career, is it wasn't superstar out the gate for young Kobe Bryant in the league. And he wasn't the alpha dog go-to scorer that he always was later in his career. And you mentioned game five at Utah in 1997, not a great performance for Kobe Bryant. And there was a lot of criticism and scrutiny that came on the heels of that performance. And there was a lot of attention on him and what would happen with him moving forward. And how did he respond?
Jacoby, not only did he become an all-star and all-NBA performer, once Phil Jackson left the Bulls in 98 and joined the Lakers, they won three straight championships, is how he responded. And while Shaq was clearly the big Aristotle and dominant and finals MVP, that last 2 minutes, he wasn't the best free throw shooter.
No.
So you got to get the ball to Kobe. And he got a chance to do with some great players, and I'll give you the perfect example, the best and the perfect example of this. Some great players never get to do, like Scottie Pippen, to have your moments to put your stamp on a game that were memorable the last 2 minutes of the game. Just think about it. The Bulls won six championships. It's unfortunate for Scotty that each time, so he never really got a chance to, like, get that game-winning shot. Or, you know what I mean? Like, everybody jump on him at the end of the game. But Kobe got that, those three championships. And what's crazy is after they won three, the desire and the Mamba mentality that you want from your athletes, he then turned it to his own team in Shaq. And was like, wait a minute. So when I was a young buck, you were throwing shade my way. And you didn't really embrace me as an equal. You wanted to treat me like little bro. All right. So we're champions now. I've arrived. You have arrived. We're both two of the top five players in the league. Why don't you focus on being in shape as the season starts? Versus trying to get in shape when the training camp happens. And a lot of people are old enough to know that once he challenged Shaq, and he was right, because Shaq will tell you that he had other interests. He wanted to be an artist and rap, and he went platinum and did a song with Biggie that gave him a fire verse and was a groundbreaking pitch man and movies, and Shaq is in every commercial right now. So that decision was definitely smart on the big fella's behalf. But for Kobe, it's like, I'm addicted to basketball. And if you're not going to be as addicted to basketball as me, then we ain't on the same page. So that then caused the organization and Dr. Jerry Buss to have to choose between Shaq and Kobe. Shaq played a lame duck contract year, his final one in L.A. And that preseason, Shaq would do dunks and look over at Dr. Jerry Buss and say, freaking pay me. Pay me. And so that made it to where it's like, oh, not only are we not going to pay you, but we're going to side with Kobe and let you leave.
Yep.
And Shaq is so beloved then and now. It's almost like the election this year. Yeah, 81 million voted for Biden, but 74 million did vote for Trump. Shaq was definitely the popular figure at that time. And he had the vote. And so many people held it against Kobe that he left, including Shaq, who went to Miami, teamed with D-Wade, won a championship, and culminated by doing a rap verse to Kobe by saying, tell me how my ass tastes.
Well, the Kobe-Shaq partnership, we could talk about for hours. But one thing I want to point out is they're like the yin and the yang. There's this, the hyper-focused intensity. Basketball is everything. I'm going to make the most out of my God. I'm going to get the most out of my God-given talent and my ability. I'm going to push myself to be the perfect basketball machine and work myself there versus Shaquille O'Neal, who is literally larger than life, happy-go-lucky, enjoys himself. There's a joie de vivre about how he approaches his life and the game of basketball. And basketball is a piece of his personality, not his focus 24/7, 365. And the two of them worked so well together. They were such complementary pieces, as we always talk about with duos, complementary pieces. They were complementary pieces on the floor. But you can see because of the diametric opposite way in which they approach the game and life in general, that wasn't built to last. And it ended up breaking up, as we all know. And then there were the two championships that he won without Shaq, those Pau Gasol championships, the Meta World Peace Championship. Why do you think Kobe cherished those more than the ones that he won with Shaq?
Because he was the undisputed leader of the team and the finals MVP. And as a student of the game and somebody that was always chasing Michael Jordan and the all-time greats, he understood. And even though a young future Hall of Famer with already three championships and big stats and all-star game appearances and dunk contests, he still had to reinvent himself for the public and for himself. And the way to do that was to show that you remember these debates. You just saw it with Brady and Belichick in a different way. Can Kobe win without Shaq?
Mm-hmm.
With a style that was abrasive in leadership, but also wasn't the guy that was going to recruit people to come to L.A. and play with him.
Mm-mm.
And I stood firsthand and heard him have a conversation with Dwight Howard. And after he got off the phone with Dwight and shout to the big fella, I'm glad he's now found his role in the league with the Lakers getting a championship and now with the Sixers. But where his head was then, Kobe Bryant hung up the phone and was like, he ain't ready for this life. And so those two with Powell and Phil is what he knew he needed. And what I want to stress to everybody that people may not realize took place, that's why he changed his number.
Why's that?
Because he wanted to win championships and reinvent himself. And so therefore, that was a cleansing of out with the old and in with the new.
Now, he's always sort of patterned his game and his goals on the GOAT, Michael Jordan. And you've got a pretty strong opinion about his relationship with Jordan and something that we will never see again. And what is that?
He's the mirror image of MJ. The way he walked, the way he talked, the height, the athleticism, the explosion, at the basket, dunking over people with 2 feet, 1 feet, up and unders, reverses, frontwards, backwards, 360s, whatever. But then playing in the post, boxes and elbows, turnaround jumpers, developed the three-point shot, became a knockdown shooter, and prolific scorer. Prolific scorer. 81 is just one night. What about those nights that he had those 40s in a row? What about the time he had 65 against the Mavs at three quarters? He had 60 in his final game. Jacoby, he scored 81 in what, 2000 and what, six? Oh, man. That is just crazy what this man is prolific. He's the remix to Michael Jordan. He's the second come. He's the next greatest thing we're going to see as a spitting image of the GOAT, Michael Jeffrey Air Jordan.
All right, gentlemen, before we move on, there's a couple things that I need to bring to your attention because I know you love Disney Plus, and right now on Disney Plus, they have Marvel Studios' WandaVision, the original series streaming only on Disney Plus, and listen to the first episode of the new rebooted First Draft, ESPN's NFL Draft podcast featuring the legends themselves, Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay, hosted by my man, Field Yates. You can find First Draft wherever you listen to podcasts.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Well, another career that will always be linked to Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan's is LeBron James, obviously now wearing the purple and gold of the Lakers. And last night, LeBron James went to his old stomping ground, Cleveland, Ohio, and put up 46 points, seven threes, a couple of steals that led to dunks, some assists, just a complete game from the King LeBron James on a random January night in Cleveland. What did you think about his performance yesterday that got the Lakers the win against the Cavs?
That's how you put the smack down, especially against your former team where you didn't necessarily see eye to eye with the owner before you left or when you came back. And you want to put on the show for your fans, your locals, the people that got a chance to celebrate you when you won championships and probably had to regret burning your jersey when you left. And doing it from everywhere, shooting the three. He's a much improved shooter. Like I said, when he takes that final dribble with his right hand and he step out his right foot, like with that little stanky leg, that's his money right there. He'd be making that. And so now that he had confidence in that shot, you know, he'd pull up from everywhere. That's why he's doing the no-look threes from the left corner. He's doing the turnaround jumper from the post when the double team coming on the baseline. Like, LeBron James is playing outstanding basketball, and it's great for our game that he and AD have teamed up. Paul George and Kawhi are having a great season so far. We have a big three now with the Nets and so many other notable players around the league. Joker and Luka getting triple doubles and 30 points nightly, and still got Giannis in the East. Jaylen Brown has emerged. So, like, we got some great storylines happening in the league, but it starts and ends still with the Lakers and LeBron James.
I will never not call that move the stanky leg ever again. Thank you for giving it a name. I don't know what it is. It's not a step back. It's really just a jab step and a three. It's really all it is. But he just does it in such a unique way that gives him just enough space to get it off, and he's been hitting them this year, shooting great from three. Now, you mentioned the three-headed superstar monster, the Hydra that has formed in Brooklyn, New York at the Barclays Center. They played the Heat, got the win, but what's happening is James Harden play, he's turned into a distributor. When he was with the Rockets, it was all him. Every possession was him. And if he got an assist, it was because he drove and tracked a defense and either gave somebody a lob or a wide open corner three or a wing three. But now with the Brooklyn Nets, the last two games against the Heat, he has 9 field goal attempts in one, 10 field goal attempts in another, and he's really turned into sort of a playmaker distributor on this team. Do you think he will continue along that path, or will we see more of those 30-point performances from James Harden?
It's important for me to acknowledge, like, different times of your career happen. And at some point in Paul George's career, he was like, man, I'm leading Indiana to the playoffs, but I probably can't lead us to the championship. I want to go play with Russ. Russ is like, I'm in OKC. I probably can't win a championship here. Like, Russ, CP3, even Dwight Howard, like, I'm going to go join James in Houston to see if I can get it done. AD, like, you know, I can't necessarily get it done here in New Orleans, so I'm going to go get it done with LeBron in L.A. And I bring all of that up because the last person you're going to hear complaining, especially after he quit on the Houston Rockets those past few games, in the public, is James Harden about his shots and his role. He will not be saying anything about that. He's getting exactly what he signed up for. And one person in particular, Kyrie Irving, knows that. Like I saw Kyrie Irving, like, shoot first, ask questions later. You're right, James. You are the distributor. You will be the guy to take 9 shots because you're the guy that's the third wheel because we already won championships. You're coming here to try to do so because you couldn't get it done in Houston. So you came to come run with us.
Well, I think one team that we need to discuss is the Los Angeles Clippers. They're now on a 7-game win streak. However, they are without Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Now, it's because of the health protocols. That, I want to be very clear, that doesn't mean that they tested positive for COVID. It could be contact tracing. It could be someone around them. There were some reports that they could be available later, so I assume that means that they did not test positive. But it's indicative of something that's happening in the league that no one's really talking about, Jalen Rose. There's been 22 games that have been postponed. It seems like every single day there's another game that gets moved or postponed, and we don't see it, so we don't really talk about it too much. But how do you feel the league is dealing with the coronavirus right now, and can they maintain this to get 72 games out of every single team and a champion after the end of the playoffs?
I think that it'd be impossible to get to a champion without COVID having an effect on the players in the NBA as long as they're not in a bubble. So that means there are going to be teams and players that either test positive or because of contact tracing, whether it's the regular season or the playoffs or the finals, they're going to be put in positions to miss practice and or games because of COVID. I believe since the players made and the league did a terrific job of instituting a bubble last year, I think for the integrity of the champion, I believe at some point, as we get fewer and fewer teams, you're going to start to hear more conversation about a form of a bubble to get to a champion.
Yes. And I think that the wild card in all of this, and one thing I stopped doing during the pandemic is forecasting what's going to happen in the future, because I thought this was going to be like 3 weeks of just watching Tiger King at home and then we'd all be back to normal. And here we are damn near a year later and I'm still wearing a mask and afraid to touch people. But, you know, a vaccine could become available to the general public. Right now it's restricted to people in dangerous professions and at-risk people and people of a certain age. But that could certainly change a potential bubble situation, but I don't know when or where that's going to happen. But I could see the Eastern Western Conference Finals and the NBA Finals happen in the exact same bubble environment it happened last year. I could really see that happening because some people say, well, why doesn't the NBA just do a bubble? It's different when you've got, how many teams were in the bubble? 16? difference when you got 16 versus 30. It's different when you're talking about 2 or 3 months versus 6 or 7 months. Like it just seems logistically, financially, mental health wise, impossible to do an entire season in the bubble. But I could see it getting down to 4 teams, 8 teams, and then going to a bubble environment. But that is down the road. We'll continue to keep an eye on what teams are missing games, how they could possibly make them up. The Wizards come to mind as a team that's just missed so many games. Then the Clippers are about to take the floor without Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. And we know with a 7-game win streak and, you know, chasing the Lakers for that number one spot. And we'll see what happens there. The Utah Jazz, they've won 8 games in a row, Jalen.
We got
Rose.
The Jazz. We got the
eight
Jazz.
8 games in a row. What do you think about the Utah Jazz's run?
Here's what I think. I know the difference between a pat on the back and a kick in the butt. And I personally know Donovan Mitchell. And was I the only person uncomfortable with the interview he had with Shaq?
No, you were not.
I appreciate how he handled that. I don't know why. Probably because they're a small market. People don't want to give the Utah Jazz their credit when they're a really talented team, probably the best three-point shooting team we have currently going in the game, and only dumb down their achievements to where if you don't win the championship, then your season isn't successful. The Buffalo Bills had a successful season this year. Yep. They ain't better than the Chiefs. The Utah Jazz ain't better than the Lakers. What you want from Donovan Mitchell? You want 30? You want 50? What do you want?
Well, you got that in the playoffs. Mitchell and Murray were going back and forth.
Yeah, they ain't better than the Lakers. So I don't like when people try to do this. And Barry Bonds was the first athlete I really started to pay attention to this with. Because I knew he was all-time great. And I was like, well, if he played for the Yankees and was in left field, he'd have a couple of World Series. We all know that.
Yeah.
Like, it's a no-brainer. And then when I started to realize, like, oh, okay, we're going to dismiss everything the great Barry Bonds did, and I'm not talking about the steroids, and distill it down into, oh, he don't have any rings. I was like, that don't make sense. And so Donovan Mitchell and the Utah Jazz with Bogdanovich and Clarkson coming off the bench, they have an identity under Quinn Snyder, who's a terrific coach. And I see them as the group of teams right behind the Lakers. That they're just as good as the Clippers to me. We'll see what happens once the playoff comes.
They're a game behind the Lakers, a half game behind the Clippers in the Western standings as we record this right now. We're going to have to pay attention to them when they get that number one spot. Right. When they get the number one spot, they're going to need to get some shine. They're going to a 10-game win streak. They're going to need to get some shine.
Yeah, why diss them? They're just as good.
Of course. Of course. And then, you know, if you look at the top of the Western Conference, there's four distinct teams, including the Jazz and the Nuggets and the Clippers and the Lakers. And Portland, I'll put in probably a step below that. But, man, this Western Conference is getting interesting. The Suns have cooled off a little bit, but the Grizzlies have won 5 in a row. The Western Conference is fascinating this year. And one thing I got to bring this up, because, you know, I can go negative Jacoby sometimes. I had higher hopes for the Mavericks. I know they're working KP back in. But remember Luka Doncic, we were all giving him the MVP in the preseason. And this is going to be the breakout year for him, and he's going to be the best player in the league, and the Mavericks are going to make a real run at the top of the Western Conference. They're now below 500, Jalen Anthony Rose. Why do you think that is?
I'm about to give you a GM question. Okay. So be ready.
Oh, is it a thing where you try to make me look bad by asking me, like, trivia?
Not at all.
Oh, okay.
We know who the two best Mavs are. Tell me who's
Tim
third,
Hardaway
fourth,
Jr.
and fifth.
Tim Hardaway Jr.
Who's third, fourth, and fifth?
Tim Hardaway Jr., third. I'm going to throw Powell out there.
So let me stop you before you finish. Soon as you have to throw somebody out there, that lets you know that what Rick Carlisle is doing with that roster and what Luka is doing as one of the top players in the game is extremely special. You see what I'm saying?
Just
you
to round
can't
it
even
out.
Give me 5 players. Yeah,
just to round it out. I'll probably say I don't even want to say that name, but I'll say Josh Richardson for sure. I've always liked Josh Richardson. He's never lived up to that year that he had in Miami before he went to Philly, but he's been playing well for them. Willie Cauley-Stein.
Okay. So
Cleaver?
So let's look at the court. So now we got Luka. We got KP.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got Powell.
Tim Hardaway Jr., Josh Richardson. And then I like Powell more than Cauley-Stein, but Cauley-Stein.
And then the other team has Murray and Jokic and Michael Porter Jr. And then the other team has like Kawhi and Paul and Lou Will.
Yeah.
They're just not as good.
It just comes down to depth. We always talk about Luka and KP.
Yeah.
You know, Tim Hardaway Jr. is fine. Josh Richardson is fine. Yeah. And Willie Cauley-Stein's all right. Yeah, it's not as good. It's not as good. I think that's fair. Well, Jalen, we got to touch on some things because we had Timberland and Swizz Beatz on the show last week. And you had some great proposals for them.
Shout out to Demetrius, our producer, helping me put them together. And great you as proposal. Well, team effort.
Great proposal for them. You can tell they have ones they already heard before. You know what I mean? They've heard it all.
Their name Sunshine Anderson heard it all before.
Well, the Ashanti Keisha Cole was over 8 million viewers tuned in across Instagram, Apple Music, and other streams. Over 8 million. And Keisha Cole didn't even show up on time, which I loved. So, Jalen, after discussing with them those potential matchups, which ones do you think are most realistic to actually happen? Like, what do you really think is going to be next in line?
Well, shout to all of our podcast supporters and listeners, people that's been with us since day one. We appreciate the love. We take pride when Washington changes their name to the football team. We take pride in the Harriet 20s. You know, just staying true to who we are. But I would say Buster and Missy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one because Tim said it. That's my sister. And Bus, he been looking for somebody to try to step into the ring with. He been like the pit bull walking down the street, just grabbing steaks off everybody's porch. Bus wish somebody would. So I like them for entertainment value. I like them both because they're legends. They have longevity. They're both extremely talented writers. And they're going to put on a show. Like, Ashanti and Keisha Cole, 8 million people didn't see him move around.
Mm, they weren't in the same room either, yeah.
Like, these people, like, Bus going to give us a show.
I love that. I love the two of them.
Missy going to give us a show.
They're so great. I love that one. I think that one could really happen, too. I really feel like that one could happen. And shout out to the Versus people. Jalen, very quickly, we're going to hit some rapid-fire topics because one thing I want to make note of is every day that we do the podcast exclusive, you can also listen to the television audio version. We put out 2 episodes a day, so make sure you hit both of those because there's not too much crossover in content. But, Jalen, the Nets traded Jared Allen, and they realized that they just have DeAndre Jordan as a true center. Obviously, you could play some other people at that position on their roster. But there's reports that they're interested in Kevin Love and JaVale McGee. Kevin Love, I don't see happening because of the amount of money he makes. Like, it just ain't going to happen. But JaVale McGee is interesting there. Do you think that JaVale McGee could end up on the Brooklyn Nets?
Well, what happens, Jacoby, is you're the Nets and you're on the phone with Cleveland. You're calling about JaVale. And then somebody from the Cavs leaks that you want Love also. Because when they move one of their bigs, they'll love to move his big contract.
Mm-hmm.
Right? JaVale would be terrific for the Nets. A rim runner, a lob catcher, more skilled than people realize. You see him go coast to coast, take it between his legs, and dunk on the whole team the other day.
Yeah.
And so he'd be great with them.
I think so.
And so if you're the Cavs, you know that. So you got to sit on your asking price and see if you can get what you want.
Other names, Ed Davis, Nerlens Noel, Bismack Biyombo. Those are all interesting names because Brooklyn does have a – they have a need they need to fill. They've got roster spots. They can do it. I think all of those names would contribute immediately to the Brooklyn Nets as they try to make a championship run this season. Jalen, we always love power couples, so we got a shout-out of new power couple. I don't know if we've done this on the show yet, but Lori Harvey. Lori Harvey and Michael B. Jordan. Instagram official. Power couple. Get the blessing from Steve Harvey himself. Your thoughts on this newly formed power couple?
One of my favorite songs, and if you ever see my brother Fat Joe, who I got to get to come on the show, I literally was playing this record, and then I see him do his big show, and now before every show he playing, and I hit him like, oh, so you just going to take my song, huh? That record is Nights Over Egypt. Nights Over Egypt. The reason why I bring that up is because Lori Harvey got knighted when she got with Michael B. Jordan.
Explain.
Like, when you're considered a young socialite, Jacoby, she was going down a path that could have went a lot of different directions. You hope that it end up the successful Kardashian-type path of being like a starlet and allowing your brand to then turn you into a brand endorser, a pitch person, and, you know, hopefully healthy and secure relationships. But a lot of times when some of the things that she was rumored to be doing, and we don't know if whatever she was rumored to be doing with Tristan or Future, or we don't know how true any of that was, or Diddy's son, or whatever, that was a crossroads publicly. And I remember seeing like she had a fender bender in LA, because I called my daughter. Because when you start to see young people making a series of decisions, you're just hoping that their situation isn't necessarily spiraling out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I say knighted, to me, she grabbed control of her will really quickly by getting with somebody that in Michael B. Jordan, who I think they're going to have a quality relationship and something to build together. So I was happy for him. I'm happy for our brother Steve Harvey. I know he don't like to see his name being dragged through the media in a slanderous manner, especially when it relates to his daughter. So I'm pretty sure he enjoyed looking down at his phone, and it was positive things being said about the newest power couple.
Absolutely, Jalen. We also have some news. Jake Paul, who we last saw knock out Nate Robinson, which led to some funny memes on Twitter. Jalen, he has signed up to have another fight with a gentleman named Ben Askren. Askren is a UFC veteran who we last saw getting kneed in the head by Jorge Masvidal in about 8 seconds, the quickest knockout in the history of the UFC. So, Jalen, he's fought a YouTuber. He's fought a professional basketball player, former basketball player, and now he's going to fight a professional fighter. What do you think about this prospective fight between Jake Paul and Ben Askren?
I ain't rolling. I know we're going to cover it. I know I'm going to watch it. I know it's going to be something that this is, you ready for this? This is where I'm happy to be almost 50, dog. Like, there's certain things that get people excited and become popular and trending and all of that stuff that I feel like is sophomoric. And this is one of them. Like, Jake Paul, like, he's not a fighter.
We'll find out. Because here's what it is. I think everybody wants to see him get knocked out. I think that's really what it is. Like, I think that's the intrigue here, is he's got this big personality. He's brash. He's confident. And he kind of, like, he sort of has cultivated this villain role for him. And I know nothing what he does on YouTube. I don't watch any of that stuff. But, like, I feel like the world wants to see him get knocked out. And until he gets knocked out, people are going to tune in. But hopefully, against Askren, who is a professional fighter, not a professional basketballer, a professional fighter, hopefully we'll be able to see what we all want to see in him getting knocked out. They're also talking about the All-Star Game coming to Atlanta. Jalen, what do you think about the All-Star Game in the middle of the panty being held in Atlanta.
3-2-1, that idea is going to get canceled.
Yeah,
I can spend a lot of time thinking about, I can spend a lot of time talking about why it's a bad idea, but anybody that can hear the tone of my voice know why it's a bad idea.
Bad idea. We should be doing essential tasks. If you're leaving the house to go to work, it should be essential work, something that you have to do. And we don't have to do the All-Star game. We don't have to do that. Right. We can name the teams. We can even have the draft because everyone wants to say that they're an All-Star selection. Well, they're going to name the team. They're going to name the team. They're going to say, like, such and such is an All-Star, so they get that many appearances, or don't break streaks and whatnot.
Yep.
I don't see the game happening.
Correct.
An All-Star game with no fans, that doesn't even feel right. That just seems like a workout. That just seems like a workout.
Yeah, not going to be able to do it.
I don't see that one happening either. Now, Jalen, we always say we give the people what they want. Part of giving the people what they want is including the people in the show. So we have time for one voicemail from the people. But before we play that, right now, push pause on the podcast. Call 985-80-JALEN. 985-80-JALEN. You can leave us a voicemail, and we'll put it on the show just like this.
Hey, what's going on? This is Kenny from Arkansas. Shout out, Reg. Ledge. So, hey, my wife and I are getting ready to celebrate our 10-year anniversary this July. Excited about it. But obviously with COVID going on, you know, we've been very cautious. We're both in education, so we're essential workers and, you know, try to be cautious there as well. But we wanted to get out of the country for our 10-year anniversary. Since Jalen is a travel aficionado, and obviously I know Jacoby is a homebody. He's got kids. I got 3 kids. And so what would you guys recommend during the time of COVID as a way to celebrate such a special anniversary like 10 years? All right. Appreciate it, guys. Peace.
Congratulations, Kenny, and your lovely wife on 10 years of marriage. I also celebrated my 10-year anniversary, but in the middle of a panty, man, not much to do. Like, I think we went to dinner. It was kind of low-key. But before you go, Jalen, he really asked you the question, but I'm just going to say, you know what? You know how you look for places to go when the weather's good? Just go where the COVID's good. Just get the test. Do whatever you got to do. Find yourself on an island with the COVID restrictions where the COVID numbers are super low. They test you when you land. You quarantine until you get that result. And then enjoy yourself on a beach without a mask on. Jalen, your thoughts?
I got you, family. Thank you for the call. We appreciate the love. Here's what you do. In state or city, depending on where you live, vacation.
Yep. It'll be summertime too, so it'll be nice.
Do you a staycation outside of the home? Go get you a nice hotel room and put everything in there you would like. You want champagne? You want wine? You want food? You want to order room service? Whatever you want.
Do two nights. Have it in the room. Do 2 nights.
Do 2 nights so you get the rollover minutes in the morning. If you're over 21, you know what I'm talking about. I got a corporate job, rollover minutes. I know that went over some people's head. It's fine. And that's what you do. Netflix and chill, rinse and repeat. Room service, shower, bath, do it together. Wash each other down, scrub each other. Enjoy it.
Enjoy.
Feed each other. Do all of that kind of stuff.
Congratulations on the 10 years. And I just want to say to all educators, not just Kenny and his lovely wife, that we really appreciate the work you're putting in. You are essential. And we need you now more than ever. And we know it's hard. We know it's been the hardest year for all educators in the history of their careers. And we appreciate all the efforts you put in. We actually have time for one more voicemail. Let's listen to what that is.
Yo, what up, Jalen? Jacoby. Shout out, Reg, man. Long-time listener, this is Kano from Maryland. Quick question. Jalen, Uncle Jalen, top 5 favorite films. You always talk about films. I love your films, man. When you talk about films, man, top 5 favorite films. Good looking. Shout out. Peace.
Jalen, before you start, I just want to make sure that we put this disclaimer on every single list we've ever made. We're going to omit some things. Jalen's going to get this wrong, but he's going to try. So just try off the top of your head, top 5 films. I'm sure you're going to forget too.
All right, I'll just name some, and I think it'll be between 5 and 10. And the easier way for me to do it is just think of the different points of my life. So when I was young, Fish to Save Pittsburgh, classic basketball movie with Dr. J, all of the Fred the Hammer Williamson blaxploitation movies, and Foxy Brown, Scarface, Godfather, Beat Street, Crush Groove, Breaking. Classics, by the way. It seemed like all of my movies either are gangster or have a rap artist or a comedian and or a soundtrack from here on out. So it seems like it's I like Pulp Fiction, Blood of Rim, Boys in the Hood, classic, Higher Learning, anything Ice Cube.
Paid in Full.
Paid in Full is a classic. Malcolm X, Spike Lee.
We're up to like 25, 30 movies now, but keep going.
Oh, Do the Right Thing, School Days.
Oh, man. Jalen, before we wrap up the podcast, there's something we really need to talk about, dog. You know how you always say this is therapy for you, and this is going to be therapy for me, is we really need to discuss the strategy with your hair, because I'm concerned. You know? I'm concerned. I really am. It's like The Rock not being in shape or something. It's like, no, your hair is a mess right now. Like, what is going on? What's the long-term strategy? What are the goals? What's the timeline?
Well, here's the flat out like overarching thing. My public is bullying me to not have long hair.
Was it?
Because of what you just said, for example.
You had some good going with the R&B twist, man. Like early December, heading into Christmas, you had the twist going. You had the genuine look. Those were good.
I cut it. It got to grow back to that. They ain't free flowing curls yet. They're curly naps right now.
Oh, no.
You got to grow longer.
I'm concerned, man. It's not the same. Are you okay?
It got to grow longer.
Are you okay?
I'm in between here. But here's what I want people to know. Anytime somebody comes to you and be like, Jalen got a hair cheat code, remember these days. Remember my Scully days. Remember my wolfing days. Like, people just show up and be like, oh, he got a crisp cut all of the time. No, they're not around the other 75% of the time when I'm wolfing.
I know. And I like the people that don't think your hair is real. They're like, people come up to me like, Jalen's hair is not real. I'm like, I don't even know how to respond to that. Like, what do you think? Putting on a wig? Like, what do you think is happening?
And, like, if you know my habits, I can't do something every single day other than get dressed that's going to take me a long time. Like, I got to get showered. I want to take a steam. Like, I can't be doing one more, like, if I had hair like Tanner down my back, then I'll do it. But my hair, you see my hair. It ain't worth it.
No. Well, listen, we're all with you. We support you during these dark times, and we know that there'll be light at the end of the tunnel. Much like this pandemic that we're going through, at some point this is going to be over. At some point you'll be back. At some point you'll be getting 4 cuts a week, crispy crisp, in studio, giving me pounds. Oh, yes, and indeed. I can't wait. But in the meantime, we'll be here for you as we have been through the entire pandemic. Jalen and Jacoby, we have a podcast every single day and one tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen?
We're not done. We are not done.